The ArtSci Lab is a transdisciplinary research lab made up of researchers and creators committed to helping the arts, science, and technology communities by pursuing initiatives of societal urgencies and cultural timelines. Now, that's more or less the tagline, but who are these researchers and creators? I'm your host, Maisha Razek, and I intend to find out. From deep within the halls of UT Dallas, we bring you the ArtSci Lab Talk Show. Before we dive into the episode, there are some acronyms that would be helpful for you to know. First, UTD, or UT Dallas, refers to the University of Texas at Dallas. JSOM refers to the Jindal School of Management, UTD's business school. CVL is the Center for Vital Longevity, and CBH is the Center for Brain Health. Both of these are research institutes that focus on cognitive neuroscience of aging and the combination of brain research and clinical interventions. And that is all you need to know.
This is session one of the ArtSci Lab talk show. I'm here with Lauren Bernal. Lauren, would you mind telling us what you do in the ArtSci Lab?
Sure. So I'm the project manager of the Esports Cyber Athlete Development Project. My position has evolved from being a part-time student worker, and then whenever I graduated, I got promoted to full-time staff, so I've been enjoying that life. I started out with working on TOTS, Tale of Two Thinking Systems, looking at how the two hemispheres of the brains can be stimulated through different kind of sensory stimuli and how that affects education and learning, memory retainment, and whatnot. And then now I am at my baby project, the Esports Cyber Athlete Development, ECD for short. And it's been an interesting journey getting here.
At this point, I'm itching to ask Lauren about the esports of it all. But first, I need to know how she got there. I need to know her story.
So I graduated in May of 2019 with a Bachelor of Science in Psychology. At UTD, I researched in Dr. Walter Dowling's Music Perception and Cognition Lab, which was a lot of fun. I have a background in music. I'm a singer. I've played in a couple bands around Dallas, so that's been really fun. And then also, I'm still in a lab called Couples Daily Lives Lab with Dr. Karen Prager, and we're looking at how seriousness of conflict affects couple recovery.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is you wear a lot of hats.
I wear a lot of fancy hats, yes.
So that's not, you know, a very conventional path for a researcher. Would you say that you've diverted from, like, the traditional role of, like, a student who, like, starts at a lab and focuses on, like, one specialty?
Yeah. So what I would say is labs across the board are just unique. And the beauty of the ArtSci Lab is that you can start out thinking, oh, I'm going to be this silo researcher doing one thing, but oh, hey, there are 50 other projects that are all transdisciplinary, and somehow you get immersed into them organically. And then it helps to create your professional development while you're in the lab. And that's kind of what's helped me get to where I am now, which I couldn't be more thankful for, honestly.
Something you brought up when we were talking earlier was the grasshopper versus inchworm idea.
When I had an internship at UT Southwestern, I had asked one of the mentors, oh, well, would you think that it's more sufficient to be in one type of research for a decade or to jump around into different kinds of genres of research? And he said, well, you can either be a grasshopper or an inchworm. Personally, grasshoppers have more fun. They travel faster. They get to see more of the world. So that's kind of what I've applied as a philosophy to my research, going from music, couples, learning and education, to now esports. I mean, come on. That's like... That's jumping all over the place.
It sounds like you're having fun with what you're doing.
I'm fun, you know. I feel like my palette is just so much more diverse than it would have been if I were in a different type of lab.
After talking about how she got here and her approach to research, it was finally time for me to ask the question I'd been dying to ask Lauren since she first told me about her new project. Why esports?
Well, honestly, someone very near and dear to me is an avid esports player. And he would always talk to me about it, and I'm like, okay. And then I started noticing that he had postural problems, or like his wrist would start hurting. But he would still play because he just loved it. It's not like he was addicted, of course, but he would just do it because he had fun and he'd play with his friends who live in different states now.
So in that you saw the potential for like
science. So a light bulb just kind of ding. And I was talking to Roger about it, who's the director of the lab. And over coffee, we're just like, hey, esports is fascinating, and I'd like to look more into it. Let's see what else has been going on around the world, seeing how they've been looking into it. And so we've decided to come up with this kind of method of a transdisciplinary board of people who are working on it to try to bring together an initiative that enhances the esports player cognitive performance and overall well-being.
So what would you say is, like, if you were to give an elevator pitch on like the mission and the like zero in aims of this project, like if you could boil it down to it, what would you say? Ooh. Not to put you on the spot, but.
Ooh, okay. Well, I have a gift of talking fast and putting a lot of words into a short time. So what I would say is, how do we help the 21st century athlete, the esports player, without harming them intentionally or unintentionally? That's the pitch.
If I was on an elevator with you,
would you be sold?
I'd be sold. Oh, have to take all my money. I don't have any, but.
Oh, we'll take it. Trust me. We will take it. Fund me.
So is this the first kind of project you've lifted from the ground, or?
Yes, because.
So you've been involved in like acquiring funding.
Being involved in the Art Sci Lab as a whole. Uh-huh. This is like my second time trying to do for funding.
Okay.
But funding is a huge beast because you have to look at the where they've previously funded, exactly what their mission is as a foundation, how much they're willing to and what kind of period. And also their requirements. Some of them require letters of support. You know, so that could be a little hard and time consuming to get your collaborators to sit down, write a one pager that's convincing just as much as your proposal, and attach that to your application. So
what kind of people have you been basically recruiting to be your collaborators?
Ah, well, we've been fortunate enough that UTD already has some connections with Center for Brain Health, as well as Roger. Roger is very well connected, which helps a lot. So we've been working with Center for Brain Health. We've also recently been working with Center for Vital Longevity, which is another cognition research lab. We also work with JSON and...
At this point, we veered off into a conversation about local esports pioneer organizations involved in the project, ones that I'm technically not supposed to be talking about on the podcast. But I was interested in knowing what kind of roles they would play in the esports project, so here's Lauren talking about one of them. It will go unnamed, but I want you to listen.
The facility is relatively new. They've been around for maybe a couple of years. And they over there, they actually have a mental skills coach. And so what he does is he kind of helps to provide support to the esport players while they're traveling, because it can be very stressful and anxiety provoking to be traveling at such a young age as a professional. So we've been trying to get them connected with Center for Brain Health so we can help to develop a program that is modified from one of Center for Brain Health's original programs, which is used on high performance teams like special forces, executives, people that are under high amounts of pressure, and adapting that program to where it could be suitable for esports players who go through also high levels of stress and pressure. and seeing how that can help their cognition, performance, responses, and then as a result, their overall well-being, which we hope to have during their esports career, and then, of course, whenever they're out of that career.
You're listening to the Art SciLab Talk Show. If what you've heard so far has piqued your interest and you want to know more about the lab, go ahead and check out our website. Just go to artscilab.atec.io. Now back to the show.
Do you see this kind of taking your career in a specific direction, or is this just like another thing that that has piqued your interest and you've like decided to dedicate your time and energy to it?
Well,
loaded question maybe, but
I love big questions because then they make me think more.
The audience wants to know.
Okay. So what I plan to do with this project throughout all of its naming iterations.
And so to clarify, Esports Cyber Athlete Development Project is not the...
It's not the final name. It's the placeholder name.
Okay.
I like it. I think it sounds nice and shiny. But, you know, of course, there is backlash feedback from anybody, which is always useful.
Uh-huh.
So we might be changing it, but that's the placeholder for now.
Okay.
My dream is to have an esports research institution. And, you know, we get comments where people say, oh, well, you're into this because esports is a huge growing market, so you want the money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, anything you're passionate about, money will follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the philosophy I live under. And so I'm passionate about this because it's on the rise and it's going to be, I've seen it quoted before, that it's going to be part of the Olympics in the future.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure if that will be. There's a chance it might. Who knows about the future? But, you know, this is something that's affecting people of Gen Z who's only going to be even more immersed into this whole esports realm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people who follow them as well. And so why not take something, adapt it, and create preventative measures to where people are able to moderate their use of it, also able to use something that they enjoy to their advantage. Just like with rock and roll music, people stigmatize it. Oh, that's the devil. Whatever, it's rotting your brain. Okay, people stigmatize that with video games as well. You know, and esports is actually showing to help increase executive functioning in people's brains, such as visual spatial abilities, attention spans, you know, attention to detail, short-term memory capacities, things of that nature. And we're also wanting to help this become an even more inclusive sport,
mm-hmm.
to where people aren't exploited for being not wealthy or just because they're of a different gender. You know, we want this to be a more inclusive thing. So we're approaching this project on a holistic scale.
This has a lot of heads, I'm hearing.
Whole lot of heads. Yeah. It's a, what is that?
A chimera.
It's like a hydra.
Hydra. Okay. Hydra
the more heads you cut off, the more grow back.
And by cut off, we mean delve into as a viable research.
Yeah. If we cut off a head, it's because we're planting more seeds. There you go. So more heads just keep blossoming.
Okay.
And, you know, we're getting such wealth of collaborators, and they're
promising.
Yeah. It's promising. It's helping me see that there's true future in this. And these are people who deliver. That's something else that I really love and appreciate about these people that we're collaborating with. You know, right now we're working on this theory called co-design,
right?
Which is an approach that we often use in the lab. It's a method to where if you're developing something, involve the people that you're developing it for, mm-hmm. so then it can be most effective. So with co-design, we're trying to create this group of avid and motivated esport players,
right.
so we can gather qualitative data and see where the pros and cons they see that lie within esports.
So their input is considered in like the designing of this.
Absolutely. Okay. And that's something that we want to do because, okay, we're nerdy researchers, yes. But we want to involve people that we're going to be A, studying on, and two, developing a service for. I want this to be a service that can be applied nationally and internationally because it's an international sport.
Okay, so far you've kind of given me the like broad ideas and the like aspirations of the project. Like, what is the tangible parts you've gotten out so far?
Yeah, so the tangible parts are going to be an annotated bibliography that we're working on. It has an array of topics that we go into from our research that we've done very thoroughly. I, myself, and Kristen Dupree, we are the lead authors. Also co-authoring is Tusif Syed and Zhao Silveira. And so we're a diverse team. And we had these different kind of thoughts and approaches that could be applied to esports. So we're like, hey, let's research them and see what people have already done. And so basically what the bibliography is it's a taxonomy of all different things, going from, well, what the hell is esports? Going to, okay, here's psychology, mental health, how it enhances cognition, how it's related to traditional sports, businesses and different startups that are coming about, AI and technology. And then we have an appendices section where it goes into, okay, well, Kristen and I, we're like, there's esports, but if we're researching it and don't know what the hell it is, why are we doing it? So her and I, we've developed a system called esports gaming sessions. So we're trying out different kinds of esports genres and documenting our experiences it through an Excel sheet with the basic data and then also a reflection sheet. So then we can track the progress that we've made throughout all these different types of esports. And then we can also see if it's enhancing any sort of our abilities in everyday life. So that's something that we're doing. And then also we have different resources of sites that we've gone to, conferences, our terminology section, so everyone's on the same page as to what we mean by certain terms.
The entirety of the annotated bibliography can be found on our website. It is a thorough exploration into everything that you might want to know before launching into a project like this. And as a person who did actually get to read it before it was launched out into the ether, I would highly recommend it.
Obviously, UT Dallas, if you are not aware, has an esports gaming facility. It's pretty new. How does that play into your project?
Well, we've met with Greg Adler, who is the director of the esports team here at UTD. And I've been in contact with Eric Auberg, who is the student director of the team. How it is over there is that they have a couple of teams and they compete with different universities. And they are actually a part of the university's athletic department. And so they have the same kind of requirements of, okay, you have to do X amount of fitness hours, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, with anything that's...
Just in case anybody thinks that the school does not take esports as seriously as any other athletics.
We do. It's in the athletic department. You can look it up. Yeah, anything that deals with university as a job, of course, you prioritize school. That's number one. But they do have training and they go to compete. Like I said before, we're approaching this on a global scale, right? But with everything, you have to start a bit smaller.
So
we're wanting to have like healthy practices for the players and also help to increase their well-being by applying different cognitive testing. So they have the quantitative side, but with the qualitative side, if they hear that they will be heard and their feedback will be applied to whatever kind of system is in place of training the players, then we're hoping to have this project go for the betterment of the esports industry.
Obviously, a shiny new field emerging in the research community is going to have people excited. I know I'm on the edge of my seat kind of waiting to see how the pieces come together. But as Lauren and I get to talking about what continues to motivate her through this project, she brings up something that I'm embarrassed to say that up until this point I hadn't really thought about. The people aspect of it. Who are these people that she is trying to help?
Oh, there was this one person, I'm not going to share names on here, but he came to one of our watering holes that we have hosted at ATEC on Fridays. And he shared how esports is such an influence on his life and his well-being and how it's a healthy source of escapism for him. Mm-hmm. It truly touched me. He elaborated on how esports helped him build through pro-social behaviors, these kind of friendships that are online-based.
Which is not something people would normally think of.
Exactly. They could think that it's a solitary activity. It's not always. There are some that are one player. But through things like MOBA, multiplayer online battle arenas, you get to communicate with people all over the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And he said that it helped him to accept his identity within the LGBT community. And he was just extremely invigorated by that whole experience. And it almost had me in tears, knowing that somebody could be so touched.
It's good to have a personal stake.
Exactly. Yes. And that's a huge drive as to why we're wanting to co-design. Uh-huh. So we get this whole feedback from people who not just play it, but they live it.
They live it. Okay.
I live the life of a researcher into esports now. But people who play it and are so passionate about it, I know that that's not going to be me. So I'm going to listen to people who do live that life.
Again, Lauren, your work with esports sounds fascinating. I cannot wait to hear more developments on it. As a person who also has read your annotated bibliography, I can also attest to how diverse and just thorough this is. And mm-hmm. it's something to take seriously and something to watch out for on the horizon.
Yeah. And we are aware that there are other people looking into esports on this kind of horizon. However, what we bring that's different is a network of people who are motivated by different things, and we're applying that to this research. So we have all different types of perspectives. There's not just people who are psychologists like myself. We have people who specialize in sports therapy, legal and ethics, cognition and neuroscience, artificial intelligence, business. We have all these different kinds of people. So then we have heterogeneity. And we're always coming up with new ideas with each other mm-hmm. in that sense.
Are there, you know, are there things that you've learned along the way that as like a researcher and someone who hops different fields that mm-hmm. you would share with people potentially wanting to do the same?
Ah, okay.
I'll give you a second.
So a few things I would say. I have a little list. One is if you're interested in something and you may think that no one cares about it, assume that they do, because that's how this whole thing with the esports project came about. Mm-hmm. It was just something that piqued my interest, and it ended up piquing the interest of many others. And now it's become a reality. It's not just an idea floating in the air. It's something that we're writing on paper, sharing with the world. That's the first piece of advice. Second, I would say, is to be open to people who are from a different discipline than you, because they bring a completely different outlook, and that can help just engross your own. And then I would say the third one is to make friends with people who you meet, because you have no idea like what package they are, what they come with, who they're connected to. And then if just in casual conversation, there could be a whole new collaboration formed, new ideas sparked, and then it can become a lifelong relationship that's both professional and is a friendship. Mm-hmm. So those are the three tokens that I've taken throughout this experience that I would hope others to experience as well.
I would say that's very valuable advice.
Thank you.
Are there areas of knowledge or skills that you want to keep developing?
Oh, absolutely. If I stop now, I'd probably end up living under a bridge.
I think as a scientist, one must always be open to this.
Yeah, like any field, you know, it's always great to be developing just because there are people who are going to have so much more knowledge than you, and then people that are going to have less knowledge than you. And the key to that is recognizing that you can learn from both people, no matter what kind of level of knowledge you have, if you're a novice or if you're an expert, because that can help develop how you think of people, how you plan to strategize your initiatives and collaborate with others. And that sums up your professional development and then offers you leadership skills as well. So that's what I want to do. I want to get better with my professional development and how I can effectively be more headstrong whenever I am wanting to initiate collaborations and be confident while doing them too. Because if you're not confident, then it's a much harder sell to have.
I think that speaks on a lot of like insecurities that maybe younger researchers have, especially when trying to be on the forefronts of like their own work.
Yeah, and you know,
having the conviction to be vocal and stand up for themselves.
Yeah, I know for myself, something that scares me is if I were to designate years of my life to a single article publication and it only get viewed by a few people. That's what I do not want out of my life. And I would hope that for other people, they don't have to have it either. That's why this whole opportunity with the esports project, by it booming as fast as it has, and the opportunities that keep arising, why I value it so much, and the people who've helped to strengthen it along the way with me, really. Because I don't want to sit in a desk with like three people researching for 2 years and just get one paper out of it.
Well, this has been pretty eye-opening for, you know, not just like people who are researchers, but anyone who might want to, you know, get their feet wet in science and study the things they want to study.
Oh yeah, get your feet very wet, guys. Very wet. You better wear some rain boots.
So that is what I have for you. Thank you so much, Lauren.
Okay.
For coming and talking to me and being my guinea pig on this first session.
Sure, anytime. Thanks so much, Maisha.
Yeah, of course.
If you're listening, this has been Lauren Bernal. She's going to do great things, so keep your eyes and ears peeled for what comes next. And thank you for listening to the first ever episode of the Art Sci Lab Talk Show.